Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center in Claremont, California. Happy to be here this evening tonight as one of your co-hosts. And tonight's program focuses on your personal experiences. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours. Many people have personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, that are not allowed to be discussed out in the open around the water cooler. And we would like you to join us as we explore the different types of experiences that people have, what those experiences mean, how we can integrate them into our daily lives. And although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. And with me tonight as a co-host is Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World. Fortunately, our good friend, dear heart, Janet Mayer, is unavailable this evening to be with us, so we will be missing her, and I expect that you will too. She brings so much warmth and empathy, wisdom, and compassion to this program. Betty, welcome to
Thank you so much.
Our special program with these special people.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We were talking a little bit earlier about purpose and people trying to find their purpose again or find renewed purpose when they're in grief and experiencing some of the most painful moments of their lives.
We were just talking, a friend of ours this morning is just going through the loss of everyone she loved and trying to close down the business and being so disappointed in some of the people through the business that didn't stand by her, really. And so she was saying, you know, I don't have a purpose now. My purpose, I don't have a purpose. With everyone gone, why should I even be alive? I don't have a purpose. And so we were saying to her, well, if you're here, you have a purpose. And it's important that you open yourself to find out what that is. And of course, Kim and I have, through the work with Forever Family Foundation, met so many people who found that purpose through the loss of someone they love dearly, that an incredible purpose came into being for them.
Quite a few of them. There was a quote that came to mind I heard many years ago, and we can modify it a little bit to fit the present situation, but sometimes in the winds of change, we find our true direction, or our renewed direction, our renewed sense of purpose and meaning and yeah, vitality.
Yeah, and when you were talking about that, you were saying, yeah, we need to remember that so often we thought we found our purpose, and we had. That was the purpose for that part of life, and it was, in many cases, it was beautiful, profound, filled with love, so important that when they pass, we can't let it go. It's the purpose was so great and beautiful, loving, protective, that we can't let it go, but if we allow that what seems like empty space, then we can find, and so many people have found, such a profound new purpose that at that point in their lives, a new purpose was coming into being. And very often they realize that purpose involved those on the other side who had passed.
And their lives before they had passed.
Yeah.
Just pulling both threads. Both ends of the thread together to, as you probably would say or have said, to weave that new tapestry with them.
Yeah, I really love that because, yeah, that's so important, Kim, because it's not that the old life is over. The old life had meaningful moments, meaningful threads of the tapestry that we've been weaving with our, the ones we love to have passed over. And it is that tapestry that we continue. You know, it isn't unraveled and we start over, not at all. It's all of those beautiful, living, vibrant threads that we hold, and we're grieving because we don't know at this point what direction to go into or how to weave, you know,
what's
how to weave the
next?
Rest of it. Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah.
A tough act to follow when you've been fulfilled and accustomed to navigating life's moments together with people. And, you know, I just thought of another dear friend. And one of the things that you tried to really reinforce in her is that you have that love. That is not lost. You had that love for 30 odd years. It's still with you.
Yeah.
And there's a way, a perspective from which we can be nurtured by those memories, even though they be painful.
That's right. Yeah. I love that, that it's not gone simply because we cannot see it in material form. Maybe we should give the telephone number. Did you give it?
Not yet. The number to call with a comment, a question, an experience, your wisdom, any of the above, 888-627-6008. And you know, Bob and Fran are perfect examples of one example of...
Well, they are. Yes, because Bob, as he tells so well, many times, is that he didn't think there was anything but matter. He was a 20th first century man, you know, that's the way we have been taught. And he just had to think someone was crazy who was thinking they were in contact with someone else. And when they experienced the devastating loss of their daughter, Bailey, both of them created a completely new life, which they wouldn't have thought of earlier. And it has helped thousands of people, literally around the world.
I think it's tens of thousands,
tens of
at
thousands
least by now.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a few years ago.
What a beautiful new purpose. And they were weaving these threads with all of the life they had before with Bailey and with her afterwards and with so many other people that and I think one of the things about this work is that we discover that there are so many people who are opening up and looking for meaning, for purpose, for connection. Because what is the greatest meaning in our lives? It's love. Love and connection, friendship, the heart connections. And there are so, so many. It's very, very encouraging. We look out, we hear the news, which is all about the bad things that are taking place. But if we remember the incredible light that is being created on our planet now, it is very, very encouraging.
And we didn't say it, but the birth of Forever Family Foundation is part of the fruit from Bob and Fran. We weren't explicit in case someone was just happening upon this show that the Bob and Fran are co-founders.
Yes, and certainly as they developed the purpose, developed the path, developed the whole program, Fran knew that healing was the most important thing to heal the grief. And so they have wonderful healing seminars in the East Coast, in Connecticut, and in Florida, and in California.
The grief retreats.
Grief retreat, yes. And everyone we've talked to have just found them amazing.
And we've been there.
And we've been there, too.
A couple of times.
So they have certainly, Fran, of course, has passed over, and I'm sure she's working on the other side because she was so intent on bringing into consciousness the truths that allow us to heal ourselves and to heal that grief and create a new purpose, a new life. So often, as I said, with those who have passed over.
Right. And another baby of France was the Visionary Explorers group that meet once a month online with us and discuss some of the same things that people call in and share on this program.
Yes, that's true. We were visiting a friend, or friends, I should say, in New York, or New Jersey, actually, was. We went to New York, but in New Jersey. And Kim, I've told this story before, but it's related here, that Kim had just started a medicine in treatment for a continuation of the treatment of cancer, breast cancer. And our friends took us out to dinner in New York, and we came home and we were both sharing the guest room. And suddenly, I there's this, and it just, something came from Kim, like this swooshing sound, and right over my bed and toward the window. And it was really a very distinct sound. And I looked immediately to my left at the window, and I saw a woman standing there. And she was like wrapped in gauze, but from the breast up, it was unraveling. And she looked at me, and then she disappeared. And I yelled out to Kim over to the other side of the room, "Kim, what are you doing?" And of course, there was no answer. She was asleep. And when we told that story to Bob and Fran, Fran immediately said, "We need to form a group of the visionaries so that people can tell such experiences as that, that you're not going to tell just anybody and get the kind of response you want. I mean, it is a meaningful listening response." And so we need to form a group to talk about that. And we did. And it's been going how many years?
October will be 10 years. We started in 2014,
10 years.
October 2014.
And we have met some of the most incredible people who have had experiences that they don't want to just tell anybody, but they can discuss there among themselves and really get feedback and look at it and like, what could that possibly have meant, and so on. It's really true. We hear other people and we don't have to take what they say as the truth, but they awaken in us larger interpretations of what we've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they take those experiences, and that, I think most of all, that yearning to know what happens, where did they go, can I still be in contact with them?
Yes, and here my experience, I was sure it's connected to Kim because it came out, it seemed to come right out of her body across the room, and I didn't know what in the world. I didn't have an interpretation for that right away. Sometimes you have to live with these experiences. They're profound. You know that the experience was profound and meaningful, and you don't know what it is. I mean, you can't with the left brain interpret it. And my feeling is, okay, we may not know, we may not be able to interpret it right now, but we will hold it in a sacred space. Or if we have such a group as the visionaries, we'll talk about it and gather information, and we will know. The person who had the vision will know what fits and what does not fit, you know, what is real and what is not. We hold the key to our own experiences. But I think we have to just honor it, hold it, nurture it. And then it's so important to tell it, because when we tell it, we discover things that we didn't think of just in the telling of it. And, of course, so many people have said that by telling it, you're reflecting that. You're putting that energy to someone else. And then the energy goes back and forth. And you do part of that's the weaving, too.
That's right.
And it becomes so much more energetic and
right.
reveals itself.
That's right. And it was originally conceived as unexplained.
Yes, yes.
And, experiences, or at least a lot of them are.
Yes. Oh, yes. And, of course, our culture loves to have things that people experience. They usually dismiss such things. But for instance, with the UFOs, they couldn't dismiss them eventually. Well, they did for years and tried to make people think they were crazy and deranged and hallucinating, even when there were dozens and dozens who saw the same thing. But now, of course, there's a purpose behind when they reveal things, or at least act as though they're revealing it, at least talking about it. But for so long, it was just nonsensical, dismissed, unexplained is what they always said, or like the crop circle, unexplained. And then, they, of course, because there were both the authentic crop circles and the ones who were made by human beings on the earth, I mean, it was, there were very distinct differences, which people have discovered. So they know, we know which ones are really authentic. But of course, the news tried to make all of them inauthentic, you know, and just people playing around, which they could not. But we have to be, and that's really something in our culture we have to be very aware of, is that, and that's one reason that we don't tell our stories everywhere, is that they are so easily dismissed as just, oh, you ate too much if you had a dream, or you're hallucinating, or what you're talking about, or just dismiss it.
Oh, yeah.
Or just, I had people after the death in my family and I really thought I could talk to. And when I talked to one, and it was at, in the college I taught, I could see he couldn't take it at all, and he started walking backwards. And, you know, he had to leave. So I thought, I've got to slow down here.
Yeah, and find your people that you can share with.
Mm-hmm.
And
And
it seems that the circle has grown so large now. Oh. There are so many people now talking about the phenomenal things.
Yes, when it started out, just my husband Ishwan and I talked about it. And then when he too was killed in an automobile accident, as my son and my mother had been to, with my students, sometimes they'd come to my office and tell me things like, I've never told anyone this in my life, but no, so I taught mythology, so it was the symbolism of this, these kinds of experiences. And then Kim was one of my students at that time, and we began to talk about things. She could listen, she could hear it, and she took it in and honored it and held it sacred. So that's but now with that small group, now we're in touch with people from Dubai, Russia, all the way through Europe to Singapore, Australia, Vietnam, Japan,
Netherlands,
yes, all throughout Europe and Scandinavia. That are, I mean, I'm so honored and surprised and delighted of the people we've met and the stories we've heard.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It's something. It's a real turning point. It's very exciting.
Yes, I think we are certainly shifting. Mm-hmm. And in my book, Merchants of Light, I say this is the fifth renaissance of this underground tradition, which has always existed, of knowing that we live in a multidimensional world. But, and it is, as I say in the book, it has emerged four times before in these great renaissance periods. And this is the fifth, and it's truly a great period. And we now have our science back that can support mysticism, because the earlier scientists were mystics as well, which that has been obviously covered up. So it's a very special time. And we have a very responsible a role to play in this. And I was going to say, too, with in finding our purpose or healing our grief, it's not just that we're healing ourselves. We're healing nature. We're healing the bioenergy field in which we live, and it helps others to heal. That is so important, and we now know that through physics, quantum physics.
And find their own experiences more easily.
Was it
Sheldrake?
Yes.
That you had talked about things cropping up in one place and another simultaneously. Who was that?
It was Sheldrake. Rupert Sheldrake, mm-hmm. In the UK, is that, it's now scientifically known that when something happens in one place, it begins to happen throughout the world. Well, there we are. If we can heal ourselves, someone else works on their healing, then it begins to happen. It just ignites this happening around the world.
Right.
That's an incredible phenomenon.
When you were in Peru and you wanted to have an experience, somebody said, if one person does, it means we all can. Is that
what it was? True. It was a group of shamans. We're leading a group, and in meditation or in our work, we were in Peru, and we were out in nature. In fact, we took the path of the Incas, this meditative journey. And so people were feeling, you know, that, well, they nothing was going to happen for them. I was one of them. Uh-huh. And the shamans would say, no, if one of us can experience something meaningful, something divine, something that we call from the other world, but is right here, we all can. Any of us can experience. And that was, I think, very helpful for us, for all of us there, is that stop saying that, and people used to say it to me, well, now you experienced that, but I couldn't. And that is just so not true. If we want those experiences and we open ourselves to them, we will have them.
Indeed. Indeed. I'd like to give the number again.
Yes, good.
888-627-6008.
It's good. We hope you'll call.
That's right. We're waiting on you. In the meantime, you have a pretty good Machu Picchu story, I think, from Pichi's first anniversary.
Yes, that's true. And it ties into something that just recently is taking place. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to tell it. Yes, when our son died, he was killed in a car accident. On the first year anniversary, he told us in vision before that time that he would like us to go to
Mount Shasta. Oh,
where did we go?
Was it Shasta? Mount Shasta? No,
that was another time. Taos, I guess it was.
Oh, okay.
And so we did. And he said that on that night, at midnight, if we meditated, it would be very, very important. And it was interesting. I didn't really realize that it was going to be a full moon, and it was so full at midnight. Well, I had an experience of I saw the earth in a net of light. And my son said to me, the net of light has been repaired. It is ready now, but it needs to be connected to the earth through, of course, us individuals. And it was, I don't know, maybe a few years after that through a friend, I met Sharon McElhane. And my friend wanted me to meet her because what does Sharon do? She had a vision that she was taking her walk on the beach. She lived over by the ocean. She was walking on the beach one morning alone early, and she saw a few women, older women, grandmother-type women, and she thought they were real. But when she talked to them, she wasn't sure they were sacred women, but they were real. And they told her that her purpose was to work on the net of light, that the earth is encased in a net of light. In fact, the whole universe is, but that damage has been done. We need to connect those nodal points in that net of light to the earth, to anchor that light in the earth. And her books are wonderful, and she tells that story much better than I am telling it. And she tells about her work, and it's been absolutely phenomenal. And she goes now, she's traveled all around the world, practically. There's some other places she hasn't been. I just heard from her not long ago that people in these various countries, especially women, but there's some men too. In fact, these grandmothers said the earth has lost its relationship to the feminine divine, to the grandmothers, to the mothers, to the feminine, which is the right brain, the heart, the compassion, and the love. And so that it's very much needed that we make that connection again. And her books tell about how she is doing that around the world. But I think, do we have someone calling in?
We have Mark on the phone.
Great.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
How you welcome. Doing? My name is Mark Hoyle Fellow.
Hey, welcome.
Great for
thank
you to
you.
Call.
We appreciate your call.
How you doing? How y'all doing? Thank you.
Pretty
thank you.
Good. How about you?
Oh, yes. I was calling today to pretty much talk about my experience on how I have actual proof of the afterlife really exists.
Wonderful.
Good. We want to hear it.
Yes. Okay. Well, I know a lot of people always, you know, talk about the afterlife and, like, how they find proof and stuff like that. But most of the time, you really have to know proof, I guess. the, if that makes sense, to actually know proof of the afterlife. Like, it's a start from the beginning. So my proof of the afterlife is that I had an existence before my human existence.
You existed before your human existence?
Yes, I had existence before pre-birth. That's what most people call it, pre-birth existence. I remember, like, everything before my birth of a human being.
Well, that's a wonderful experience, and you aren't alone. There are people who have had, so that would help to confirm your conviction.
That's right.
It's true.
Do you want to share what that was like before, or tell whatever you want to share about this? You go for it.
Okay. Before my human birth, I remember completely. I remember it was complete darkness, and dang, I really kind of want to sum it up. I remember it was complete darkness, and I spoke like life, and I just remember it was something that was just more pure and all-knowing, and honestly, just 100% truth. I actually seen the image of God. And I know it just sounds like it's really what happened. So that's my proof of saying, like, the afterlife exists, because I've been living and I know, like, God exists from my own experience. And it just, I guess, a remarkable story for evidence of it. Like, it's a lot. So it's like I'm, like, 31 years old and I'm, like, constantly forgetting, like, all the time. But
oh, wow.
I think that's beautiful. You have what?
Oh, I was saying, like, I have, when I was, like, 20, I didn't understand nothing of it, none of it. Like, as growing up as a kid, I just knew it was different, and I knew I had to speak on it. But as I get older now, I just, honestly, I forget more and more of the story. So I had actually made a video when I was, like, 22. Like, I had joined the Army and everything, and I got out of the Army, and I made a video on it of trying to, like, remember everything and, like, steps of how it went. So as in, like, as I got older, I know, like, one day I would just kind of forget. Like, could I just, the human mind just, you know, you forget as you get older. And my memory is, like, very, very, very short. But I do remember before my birth. That's the only thing I ever keep, like, attached to, like, a memory. But as I get older now, I constantly forget. So I have a video of me talking about it, but that's just something I have to, like, you know, show you or bring it up. Because, you know, that is me putting it into steps, like, as the freshest video that's possibly I can tell you the memories of it compared to now.
Well, I love that, because you know how important it is to remember it. And that's why, you know, people always say, found those experiences or record them or make a video. And you have you've confirmed what actually is proof. The biggest proof for the individual is the experience itself. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter what anyone says, you know what you've experienced, and it clearly has directed your life and enriched your life.
Why don't you talk about that, if you wouldn't mind, or if you feel like it, about what purpose has developed out of that remembering that deep experience?
Mm-hmm. Well, purpose, I just remember my purpose as growing up. Like, before I was sent here, I remember I said to God, like, before God sent me here, it was like, God created heaven and earth. And I told God, like how I wanted to be brought down as a human, like, the features I wanted, everything happened. Like, I wanted to be short. I wanted to have a certain color of eyes. And I just remember me telling God everything, and all of that happened. And I just been living life not knowing what none of it actually meant. I was just here. And I remember another thing I remember was I asked God, honest to God, truth. I said I wanted life to be the hardest that you can possibly make it. And that's just how it just unfolded.
Really?
A hard life?
As hard as possible.
Well, you were certainly brave. Mm-hmm. But you know, Mark, we really do that. I think that what you experience and what you did is what we do. Mm-hmm. That we are the creators, co-creators of our lives. We create with larger intelligence of the universe, with God. And we have so many choices. And but you certainly, if you've had a hard life, I mean, that was brave, you know, to to say you were willing to do that.
I mean, that's just the faith I have. I like to sum it up as, is the faith I have.
And you probably couldn't, so many people can't get through those hard lives if they don't know. I mean, actually, you have more than faith. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
both. Exactly.
Yeah, both. Yeah. You have your faith and you have it based on experience.
And experience, and you know it, and that can help you through any hardship. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. Obviously, you know that. Obviously, you're experiencing that. But I think that we lost the understanding that we are co-creators of our own lives, and you have the experience of doing it, and that's pretty phenomenal.
Asking it was manifested.
Yeah, and it was manifested. Yeah, here you are.
Right, and you were part of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was I wanted to talk about my experience, just to tell you guys, like, the afterlife, it definitely exists. Like, dreams and all of that, I have, like, constant, you know, I can't say the word for it, but I have so much knowledge on it. I could just tell you like truth on so much that you've been asking like the questions about. I can just tell you so much truth on it. Like I know what like heaven, like I know heaven exists, but I don't know exactly what it looks like. Like I only had like a actual seeing it like in a second. Like I don't know how God works. I don't ever want to know, but I just know God makes me see certain things. And then just to spread it. So I guess that's just what I want to say. And it's hard for me to ever just talk about it because I had a group like how you guys are, like, you know, talk about afterlife and everything when I was in Atlanta. And I just couldn't come to just talk about my experience of my pre-birth. I don't know. Well, it's just something I just wanted to finally express as I get older.
Well, I'm glad that you called us, and I'm glad you made a video of it because you know you need to remember. And you'll talk with more people, I'm sure. It's so important. But, you know, you have to choose whom you'll speak to because, I mean, sometimes it just sounds to our culture that has been told wrong things. It's the science that we had of the material world, that there's nothing but matter and there's no purpose and no meaning and we're a fluke of nature and when you're dead, you're dead. We've been taught that, so... When people are still in that mode of thinking, then you, what you are talking about, what we're talking about, sounds crazy. So, so you know whom to speak with, but you remembering it, and remembering is a very powerful frequency that goes out to the world too, as well as telling it. So that's a gift that you're giving.
Right, your very being is a gift.
Yeah, it is. And
no way it emanates knowing. Your truth. It's felt.
That's right. Yeah. Living that truth. Yes. Yeah. Living that memory.
Exactly. So that's what I wanted to express to y'all. So I just, wanted to get it off my chest and just let you guys know it's actual truth. Like I said, I can answer a lot of questions on a lot of things. I just, I don't know. I'm not really a phone person either. So technology is like horrible to me.
Well, we're honored that you picked up the phone and shared this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
My name is Marquel Sella, if you want to see.
Okay.
It's
thank you,
MarquelSella.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and blessings to you.
That's right. Good night.
Carry on.
Yes.
Do we have anyone else who's calling?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment.
Well, that's a wonderful story. And I think that there will be more of us in the future. I have read stories of people like Mark who did remember when they were in the womb or when even before. Mm. And I think what we're building now, and Mark's calling in, making the video, talking about it, remembering it, is a part of that rebuilding. Our memory, because it's in all of us, of the other world, and that we are all divine, part of the divine, and we have tremendous potential to fulfill and understand that, and that we are immortal, and that, as Mark was talking about, we co-create with that higher sacred consciousness that we call God.
It's so beautiful.
The universe, the cosmos. And I think that we are all trying to, we are weaving as the on the earth. We are all weaving that tapestry of the earth. And the tapestry is helping us to remember, helping us to know mm-hmm. who we are and regain what we've lost in the last few thousand years, and especially the last few hundred. So, Mark, you were weaving, helping to weave the tapestry with those experiences.
That's right. That's right. The call-in number, again, 888-627-6008. And don't be shy.
No, we want to hear from you. These are wonderful stories.
Do you want to, were you finished sharing what you wanted to about Sharon?
I wanted to say more about Sharon, because if you were listening, you might be interested. She has a website and some books. And I think it's a wonderful community of people who are working on this and awakening that feminine divine in all of us. Much of which Mark talked about is the feminine divine, the memory too of this other world and love and compassion. So Kim has that information.
That's right. Her website is grandmothersspeak.com. And a few of the books that she's written are Casting the Net, Our Love is Our Power, and A Call to Power, The Grandmothers Speak.
I know, okay. That's a when I met her, we were just so amazed, because she was amazed that I had the vision of the light. I was amazed that she had, and that these grandmothers, I mean, they disappeared after she talked with them. So she knew that they were not physical human beings, although they appeared to be. And her life had been, that is a larger purpose. Her life's been committed to that. And also, I guess it's a Hubble telescope.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that now scientists have seen that, oh, indeed, the Earth does have this net of light around it. And as a matter of fact, the net is throughout the entire universe. Now, we've forgotten that, but we're remembering it now. But in India, it was long time ago, it was called Indra's net. And it was jeweled and bright and I had an experience with a group of people. It was a group of people who were very much interested in these things. And we would get together and we had various experiences. And one experience was, excuse me, that we were told from the other side about this net of light too. Mm. And that in ancient times, when the net was still connected by knowing it's there and by living it, and it was connected to the earth, that people traveled. They could actually travel in spirit from one nodal point to another, not only on the earth, but in the universe. I mean, our group, when we experienced that, we were just, I sometimes go back to read it again, and I think how much memory we've lost by having a culture that fell into thinking that all of that was nonsense and there's nothing but matter. And as I have said in Merchants of Light and many times, that was because the earlier scientists were mystics, but the church wanted to get rid of them. So after many battles and when science actually developed without the mystics, although some of them were mystics who were the scientists there, but they couldn't say anything. They were censored by the church. And so they could only study matter. And that's how we got a material science. So we certainly had that experience of what it's like to live in a world in which we have that belief system. And I think that we have harmed so many of our children by telling them that story, because no one can live with that story and be fulfilled. It's just tragic. And we are discovering a new story, which is the real story. So it was amazing when Sharon realized that, or when it happened that the Hubble telescope said this net of light is throughout the universe, and remembering Indra, that it was known by our ancestors, and then that she had the vision. I had the vision of it, through my son. And then my husband also had visions of a whole energy field that is now connected to the earth with a much higher vibration because we are connecting that light. So that's actually the merchants of light. So it's, I think we're living in phenomenal times. We must, I remember a writer, Henry Miller, who used to say, we must remember to remember. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
No, that's what Mark was trying to do, too.
Yes.
Just to hold on to this.
That's right, Mark.
You were, you know, he said he kept forgetting it, but he didn't want to.
No. And Miller writes it, re-membering, bringing all the pieces together, the members together. But to remember, because it's amazing, we forget. And when we forget, we can't hold that magic, you know? So, yes, that was... I think Sharon McElhane does beautiful work, and many of you might want to just go to her website. It's The Grandmothers Speak.
Not the.
Just
grandmothersspeak.com.
And she's a beautiful person. And it's, oh, and there was another too. I heard recently from a woman in Germany that she was at Chartres Cathedral. And she said that she suddenly remembered what had been a past life, obviously, because she knew that she had been there during, as she said, the burning times, the very difficult times, and that this, she saw this column of light that I believe it enveloped her. At any rate, she saw the column of light connected the above to the below, and it was so healing. And she knew that these columns of light, which would be connecting to the net of light, to the earth, the soil and the earth and our hearts through us, that she felt so healed. And she wrote to tell me that. She said, I wanted you to know that I had that experience. Later, she was in Spain at another place where some very tragic things had happened. And she said, again, it happened, this column of living light. And she said, I knew that it was there to heal the past as well as the present.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was very powerful. Yeah.
Who was it who had said about the Chartres Cathedral, or maybe it was Critchlow, about the human is the mediator? Was it Critchlow?
Oh, Keith Critchlow, yes. He wrote about the megalithic period, which was around, they say around 10,000 BCE, when, you know, these mammoth, huge stones, were put together, and here were these stone structures. It seemed that they were only in a few places of the world. Now they've been discovered. We are remembering the megalithic period. They've been discovered all around the world, and some are being discovered that are as old as the cave cultures, and so it's an amazing thing. So Keith Critchlow talks about those, and he said there was no division between the inner and the outer for them, that they their temples were also their observatories. So in the temple, you know, we could experience the heart of the cosmos, but of course there's the other part of us that understands it scientifically. And they did. They knew that the outer and the inner were one. And when they were in the temple, Critchlow says they actually knew that they were the mediators between those energies of the cosmos and the earth. But that's like a column too, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
If we know that, we are creating these columns that connect us. But he said the temple and the observatory was one structure. And of course, they knew about the equinoxes, the solstices. And so they lived in harmony with the harmonies of the cosmos. And they really felt that when we live in harmony with nature, that it's easier for us to remember and to develop and to live. But certainly what you said, Kim, is that we are mediators between the cosmos and the earth.
And it looks like between the net and the earth as well.
And that, yes, so, because the net is in the net is the way of
the
connecting.
Net of light.
Yeah. The net of light is a way of connecting and keeping connected. And I think that's our work today is opening ourselves to the cosmos and remembering and creating those columns of living light from the node nodal points of the net right through our hearts, our bodies, into the earth. And this is going to change the whole field for us. I know another person, Joe Reggio, who does shamanic work with people from various parts of the world, and it is creating temples of light through the columns of light in various parts of the world. Mm. And she didn't even know, I think, about the net of light until later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So as we explore signs of life, I got another quote. I just know why quotes are popping into me. But who was it who said, we need to make room in ourselves for the immensities of the universe?
Oh, yes. That was,
I can't remember.
That was Brian Swim.
Well, there you go. So yeah. Signs of life, loss, grief, love, weaving, opening ourselves, taking another step, one after another, in faith that we're here, we belong, we're still connected.
Yes, still, it's really beautiful to make space in ourselves. You know, when you think about our daily lives, mm-hmm. people work, mm-hmm. and they very often mm-hmm. get their news through the TV mm-hmm. or it. You know, their lives are packed with the outer world. And we need to release some of those activities so that we have space to be in nature and to allow those aspects of the world to be present for us, to make themselves known, so to speak. Oh, that reminds
me. To be ourselves, to make time to allow that space. I wasn't even thinking of it in that way, but it's like very nitty gritty. You know,
that's true.
A death or no death is just like, are we allowing that light to inform us, to heal us, to nurture us,
exactly,
so that we can transmit it too and keep the circle going.
Transmit it is absolutely yes, because if we experience it, we are transmitting it. And that reminds me, just last week, I received an email from a man in Holland. What is his name? Wim Bonnet. And he talked about feminine apparitions in nature.
Apparitions, yes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He spelled the healing power of spiritual landscape experiences. And he talked about how, especially in the Celtic world that we know of, that there were so many people who were going out into nature and these feminine apparitions appeared because they were the living frequency of those places.
It's in the land.
It's a one call.
Yes.
Great.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling, Ralph.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thank you for doing the show. Thank you for making this happen for all of us. Appreciate it very much. It's very helpful.
Great. Great.
So I wanted to share an experience. I figured, why not? help everybody else, I'm more willing to share my experience of something I went through. I've been doing this my whole life, meditating, et cetera, and trying to be a part of the everything. And when my daughter died, she died by suicide, I was really upset. And I went to meditate one afternoon after I was really, really kind of upset. And I laid down and was meditating. I was trying to send her some white light to help her in the transition. And she came to me in like a light, like it was like, I felt the energy of her. And she said, I want you to know I'm happy now. I'm happy now. And that I'm not gone. I'm here. Talk to me. I'm talking to you all the time. I'm not gone. My body is just not here, but I'm not gone. And then she said something odd, which I thought was weird. She said, I wasn't supposed to come, but I loved you all so much I wanted to be a part of this. And for the longest time, it bothered me. I was trying to figure out what that meant. And then I thought, after more reading and other things I've learned over the years, that I think it meant that she didn't do enough transition time between lives, that she rushed back into this life And I think that's why the life may have been so hard for her, and she was having such a difficult time with just dealing with the world and life, that perhaps that was it, that she was came back too soon when she said, I wasn't supposed to come. And that was baffled me. And then after she said that, she said, but before we go, I want to show you something really cool. She's like walked over. I could see her physically walk over, and she opened up this like big box and pulled the lid open. An enormous amount of light, bright, like it was like the God light, just went, just filled up the whole area, and then she was gone.
Oh, what an amazing experience.
What an experience.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, and I wanted to share it with people, but I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I felt that that's what she said, what she meant when she said, I wasn't supposed to come, that perhaps she didn't spend enough time in the transition between lives, that she had mentally
really
or physically.
Incredible. That's
never heard anything like that.
I haven't either, but doesn't it make sense that that could happen, that she so longed to be with all of you because she loved you so much that she didn't really take the time there? That is, and I'm sure you're right, because you just know, you know, and that's what she said, you know, that's true through your experience. And
dawned on me one day, yeah. I was kind of, it bothered me for the longest time. What did that mean? I wasn't supposed to come. How do you mean you weren't supposed to come? And then I was reading, maybe it was whatever book or something, and I can't remember, but it talked about people are supposed, maybe it was a Von Prague something, but it mentioned that people sometimes rush back, and then you'll find a higher suicide rate with people that rush back into life because they want to come back so soon. And I figured, oh, that makes sense to me now. She rushed back because I was supposed to do more transition time, more dealing with what my past life, what I learned from that and didn't learn from that, and mistakes I made, and the good things and the bad things I did in my previous life. That transition time you're supposed to do between lives, she rushed it and wanted to come back too soon to be with us.
Because of the love. That is... really interesting, because it shows they long for us as much as we long for them, obviously.
Oh, that's right.
I thought she had told you that, but it's the way you discovered it was a powerful way too. So often I think they guide us in our discovery of it, you know, a realization of it step by step. But when we get on the other side, we better remember that.
That's right.
Anyway, I wanted to share that story with you and everybody who's listening, because it kind of lets us know that we're not alone, that they're listening, they're here with us. And
that comes up all the time.
Love doesn't die.
Yeah, and that's so important that she said, I'm here. It's like the talking is that, you know, so often we talk to them and don't really know for sure whether they're present. But, you know, Janet's book is... what is it? The spirits.
They are present.
They are present. And she's emphasized that so much. And your daughter was certainly saying, yes, I am right here.
I didn't go. I just changed.
And I had that experience with my Nishwan. He said, I came home one day and he usually was in the garage working on something and he wasn't. And I kind of just burst into tears. And I just said, oh, why did you have to go too? Because it was not long after the sun had gone. And he said, I didn't go anywhere. I'm
everywhere, nowhere, and right here with you.
Yeah, that was it. I couldn't remember it better. I'm everywhere, nowhere, and right here with you.
That's right.
But it's hard to remember that, isn't it? That's wonderful for you to have that experience and reconfirm it for the rest of us.
It's beautiful to share it. We thank you so much for calling in.
I appreciate you guys, ladies, for being there and doing this for us all. Thank you.
Thanks.
I know it's
thank you. That's a beautiful story.
Yes, it is. We're grateful, Ralph. Have a good night.
Is there another caller?
We have 1 minute to say good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever people might listen to the archive. And we would like to thank you for listening to this show. And we just hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us again next month on the fourth Thursday of the month for the Personal Stories Experiences.
Yes, and that you will spend, as we hope we will, remembering.
That's right.
And knowing the present.
That's right. So thank you to Forever Family Foundation. And good night to all.
Good night, everyone.